Praise God. Yesterday I began to talk in the morning from the 21st chapter of John. Of course, that's what we've been looking into every day this week. And there are some other thoughts that I wanted to present or I felt the Lord had put on my heart. And so I just want to finish something up from yesterday morning. There in John 21, we have Jesus speaking to Peter. And we called attention to the fact that the first thing and the really only thing that Jesus asked Peter is, do you love me? But as you read that passage, you find out that he didn't call him Peter there, did he? How did he address him? Do you remember? What was the name by which he called him? Yes, Simon, son of Jonas. I think that Jesus was emphasizing the fact that Peter's natural love, Peter as the son of Jonas, Simon, son of Jonas, that love, that natural love that you have, that's not good enough. And that has failed in the time of trial and testing. And he keeps addressing him as Simon, son of Jonas. But when Peter first came to Jesus, Jesus said, thou art Simon, but thou shalt be called Peter, a rock. And that indicated what Jesus was going to do with him as he took his life into his hands and molded him and filled him with the Holy Ghost. He wouldn't be Simon, son of Jonas anymore, but he would be Peter the Rock. But while he denied the Lord, he was still acting in the flesh. He was still trying to love the Lord with his natural love. He was still confident in his own loyalty and devotion to Jesus. And there, Simon, son of Jonas, failed miserably, and he always will. And whoever you are, Kenny, son of Richard, and Edwin, son of Edwin, and so on, in our natural selves, in our sinful condition, will always fail. Our love is not sufficient and doesn't reach and doesn't hold on as we determined it to. And then Jesus, I suppose, made him to see through that trial that his love was not sufficient, but that God had a love with which to fill his heart. And he makes Peter to know that, Peter, your love failed me, but there is coming a day when you will be bound and led to a place where you don't want to go, and you will be able, you will love me sufficiently that you will be able to lay down your life for me rather than to deny me. Now, Peter could hardly imagine that. But Jesus knew what he could do with Peter, and he knew that Peter needed to get filled with the love of God. And so he spoke those words to Peter. There is coming a day, Peter. You failed me now. You denied me now. But there's coming a day when you would rather lay down your own life for me rather than deny me ever again. And that's not your love. That's not the love of Simon, but that's the love of Jesus in your heart. And that's why you need to get filled with the Holy Ghost. In Romans 5, it tells us that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. When we get filled with the Holy Spirit, we get filled with the love of Christ. And that's the only love that can satisfy his heart, and that's the only love that can carry us through our greatest trials. And then we talked about what love is, and that love is not just a feeling, an affection that we have in our hearts. We do feel love toward the Lord at times, and we do enjoy that intimacy and that sweet affection that we feel in our hearts. But there are times when we don't feel that warm affection toward the Lord. When we're going through trials, when God, for one reason or another, withdraws the sense of his presence from us, we don't feel that intense love for Jesus all the time. And sometimes people have been very troubled by that. What does that mean? I don't love the Lord anymore? What has happened to me? Is my heart grown cold? Well, Jesus certainly doesn't want us to depend on our feelings. He wants us to depend on Him and His Word and to live by faith. Faith is something constant. When you live by faith, you can live that way all the time. When you live by your feelings, you go up and down, in and out. And so sometimes Jesus will withdraw the feelings for a while because He wants to build a good foundation of faith. We find that when I don't feel that warm affection toward Jesus, I can still show Him that I love Him. I can still walk in love, as we read in Ephesians. And Jesus tells us, we looked at that yesterday in John 14, if ye love me, keep my commandments. That's what He's looking for. You know, sometimes a little child will say, Mommy, I love you. And she'll say, okay, if you love me, then obey me. If you really love me, then do what I tell you to do. You know, we can disobey our parents and say, I love you, but that's not real love. But real love is when you obey and you show that you are committed and you're loving. And so there in John 21, if you love me, John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then he that hath my words and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. That's what Jesus is looking for. That's what the Father's looking for. When his eye was upon the life of Jesus, he was looking for obedience in Jesus, and he found perfect obedience. And therefore, he found perfect love in Christ. And Jesus loved his Father and obeyed him, even to going to the cross. We read about that in Philippians, that he humbled himself and became a servant, and he obeyed his Father even when it meant the death of the cross. Jesus loved his Father right to the end there. Praise God. And then John 15, we looked at that too, in verses 9 and 10, it tells us there that we abide in his love by keeping his commandments. We abide in Christ. We abide in his love as we keep the commandments of Jesus Christ. We need to take His word very seriously. And we fool ourselves if we say that I love the Lord, but we're not living for Him. I know people like that. They profess to love the Lord. You would ask them, do you love God? Oh, I love God more than anything. But they're not obeying Him. They're living in sin. They're disregarding His word. Does God look at it like they love Him more than anything? I don't think so. And I think if they believe that, they're fooling themselves. One time we had a man come into our church, and he said, he was a stranger to me. He sat pretty much up close, very close to the front. And as I preached, he was listening very attentively. And afterwards, he wanted to talk to me. Turned out he was a Mooney. What a Mooney is? His name was Sonny. No. He was a Mooney, and he was wanting to tell me about Reverend Moon, and you know, Reverend Moon... I know one thing about the Moonies is that they teach that Jesus did not finish the work that God had sent them to do. So God raised up Reverend Moon to finish the work that Jesus couldn't finish. And so when he talked to me about Reverend Moon, and I mentioned some things that I had heard, and he said, oh, Reverend Moon loves Jesus so much he cries every time he mentions him. And I thought, well, that's nice, but that's not love. If you love me, you keep my commandments, you obey my word, you honor me through obedience. And so that's something we need to get into our hearts. If I love Jesus, then I'm going to get into his word to find out what pleases him, and then I'm going to apply myself and reach out for the grace of God and give God a chance to give me those powers of obedience that will really honor the Lord Jesus as he is worthy to be honored and served. And then there's another side to that coin, and that has to do with loving one another. And that's something that I didn't get to yesterday. But Jesus, he commands us to love one another. And in so doing, we show our love to him. In John 13, Jesus had washed the disciples' feet. 34th and 35th verse, he said, a new commandment now I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, by the love that you have one for another." And he said, I don't want you to love one another with a natural love. I want you to love one another as I have loved you. And it's interesting to do a study and see how Jesus loved his disciples. So sacrificially, so unconditionally, and he really loved them unto the end, the Bible tells us, to the full extent of his love. When you read 1 Corinthians 13, you see a picture of the love of Jesus. You see a picture of Christ there. Love is patient and kind and long-suffering and so on. And that's the love of God. That's the love that Jesus loves you with, and he expects us to love one another with that same love. Again, it's not Simon, son of Jonas, your love, but it's the love of Christ filling your heart. And we see, when we read 1 Corinthians 13, we recognize that's impossible. I don't have that type of love for everybody. There are people that have abused me and mistreated me and misunderstood me and spoke evil of me. I can't love them. No, you can't with your natural love. But Jesus commands us to love with his love. And that's where we need to get to God and say, "Lord, how can I say that I love God whom I can't see when I can't love my brother whom I can see?" And that's, we read that in 1 John 4, 20 and 21. He says, "You're deceiving yourself if you think that you're loving God and you're not loving the people around you." There too, you know, I have a nice feeling toward God, so I must love him. Well, but when I come in contact with that brother or that sister, I lose all those feelings, and I just can't love them. I can't reach out to them. And here we need to get filled with the love of God. Because Jesus said, if you can't love your brother, the people around you that you can actually see and touch, then you're fooling yourself to think that you're loving God. If we love God, we have to love our brother also. And so here are two things that we need to keep in check. I say I love God, then I have to obey him. I say I love God, and I have to love those around me. And every one of us will be challenged along these lines, or will be challenged to disobey, and will be challenged not to love. And you know, we can make a lot of excuses, and we can justify our feelings and our lack of love, and we can blame the other person, and we can compare ourselves to others and say, "I'm doing better than them, so I'm okay." But you know, the Holy Spirit's not going to let you get away with that too long. The Bible tells us in Thessalonians that the Holy Spirit teaches us to love one another. And after a while, he'll see right through all your excuses. And he'll say, "You, no matter how people treat you, no matter what they've done, there's no excuse not to love. Christ has provided that love for you, and you need to get hold of it somehow. Get filled with his Spirit. Confess your unloving attitudes. And when you're saying, "Lord, I don't love these people as I should," you also need to confess, and that means, "I don't love you as I should. And so, Lord, forgive me and cleanse me and fill my heart with your love." Your love can love anybody. I told this story before. The man came to his minister and he said, "Pastor, I have to talk to you." And so they went into the study and he said, I don't love my wife anymore, and I just can't love her. With just personality conflict, she's not the person I thought she was." And so the minister, he looked to the Lord, and then he thought he gave him some good advice. He said, "Love your wife." So what are you talking about? He said, "Well, the Bible says husbands love your wives, so just love her." He said, "But you don't understand, I can't love her." And he said, "Well," he said, "who's the person that's closest to you, that you see every day, you have most interaction with? Who's your neighbor?" He said, "Well, my wife, you know. I wake up in the morning, she's there. Go to bed at night, she's there." He said, "Well, then if you can't love her because she's your wife, love her because she's your neighbor, because the Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself." He said, we're not getting anywhere here, Pastor. I know she's my wife. I can't love her. I know she's my neighbor, and I just can't put up with her. She's my enemy. She has actually become my enemy. I once loved her, but now she's my enemy. And so he turned to the Sermon on the Mount, and he read, love your enemies. Pray for those that persecute you and despitefully use you. And he said, if you can't love her because she's your wife, and you can't love her because she's your neighbor, then love her because the Bible says love your enemies. He couldn't get away from it. He had to love his wife. He had to find out how to love his wife. And he knew that naturally speaking, there were things that he couldn't embrace, but he got down on his knees with that pastor and he said, Jesus, but you can love her through me. And I made up this part of the story. I don't know where the story came from anyway, so. But Jesus, you can love her through me. And he went back home and they watched Fireproof. And then, everything turned out real good at the end. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? Simon, do you love me? No, you can't love me as Simon, but you can love me as Peter. You can love me as that man that has put himself into my hands and got to the end of himself and stopped trusting in himself and trusting in his own abilities and cried out to God and said, God, fill me. Fill me with your spirit, Lord. Fill me with your love. Enable me to love you as I ought and to love my brother as I ought to. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But 1 John 3:16 says, if God so loved us, then we ought to love one another. You can't separate them. Praise God. And so all Jesus wants really, more than anything, is your love. But not your natural love. He wants your heart to be filled with his love. And if he finds someone that will love him like that, will love him in obedience and in loving others, and will strive to get filled with the love of God, oh, there's such hope for a person like that. There's such possibility. We talked about potential of the servants of God. What potential? What can God do with a life that loves him like that? And we have seen God's hand and his anointing and upon people that were very simple. They were not very intellectual. They didn't have much of an education. They were not very gifted. They couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. They didn't have many other abilities, but they were filled with the love of Christ. And because they were willing to keep themselves in the love of God, God made their life a great blessing, and in ways that they would have never imagined and would have never been possible had they tried to love and with their own love. Praise God. And so that's my little lesson from yesterday. I wanted to sort of put the capstone on that before we went on.